Hello, St. Petersburg! Hello, Tampa Bay! Hello, all you local beaches! Happy Friday, Radio St. Pete! This is the Marco Radio Happy Hour Show, and we are up next! St. Petersburg, and welcome back to the Marco Radio Happy Hour Show. We were not with you last week because of the Thanksgiving Day holiday. Hope you didn't miss us too much.
I'm sure they did.
We missed you all. I know that. I always hate it when we don't get to do a show. I almost thought that we weren't going to get to do a show this evening because when I introduce everybody, you'll see that we're actually missing
the key component.
The big toe.
Yes.
We are missing the big toe tonight.
It's a crisis.
It's a little bit of a crisis.
We're all a little panicked.
Yeah. That song that I played there at the beginning is called Shotgun, and that's by Junior Walker and the All-Stars. I love that song.
That's so violent.
It is violent, Ty.
Shotgun.
It is violent. Before I get too much farther into this thing, let me go and introduce everybody here. Across the table from me is my little girl, Hannah Claire. How are you?
Great.
Mm-hmm. To her right, usually would be my blushing bride, the big toe, but the big toe this evening is still at work dealing with an issue there. Hopefully, the big toe will make it in a little bit later and, finish out the show with us. Let's hope for that. I'm not so sure that we've ever done the show without the toe.
I think once. I don't think it went well.
Yeah.
It might not have gone
I don't think we actually went live.
Right.
But we tried.
Are we sure we're live now?
We're not.
Really? Is there any way to tell?
It looks pretty good.
I'm sure it's fine.
Okay. I've never really looked at it when Mom was messing with
all
it. Right. So.
All 12 of our listeners won't mind.
Well, hopefully.
It looks great.
Jack, please don't forget to wiggle that mouse. As I just mentioned, Jack is would be sitting to the right of the toe. Jack is the man with the plan this evening and had to fill in for the toe
to get us
online. Hopefully.
Big position to fill.
Hopefully we're online and everybody out there in radio world is listening to the Marco Radio Happy Hour Show.
And you're
tweet
just
us
not talking
and let us
to
know.
Yourself like a crazy person.
Yeah, right.
I'm a little freaked out. Okay. Let's see. To Jack's right is my boy, Ty Ginn. Hey, how are you?
I'm good. I'm great.
So we just got off of the, we just did a full week of work after the Thanksgiving Day holiday. And for me, the week went by pretty quick because I was busy all week. But some of the things that we did that I wanted to talk about, during the show, I guess last Wednesday, Mom and I, kids, we went over to the Palladium in downtown St. Petersburg, and we saw a fantastic music show. It was Damon Fowler and Friends.
Nice.
The Friends included a gentleman by the name of Eddie Wright, phenomenal guitar player, a local guy, and I think a lot of people. He has sort of mentored a lot of the local artists.
Right.
I think even P.W. Fenton knows Eddie Wright. If PW wants to tweet in, he can do that at Marco Radio Show 1. Tell us all he wants to know about Eddie Wright. Let's see, who else was there? Obviously, Damon Fowler was there. It was his gig.
It's his deal.
Betty Fox was there, my all-time favorite female artist in the St. Petersburg area. And then T.C. Carr was there. So it was a good evening, some great music. As a matter of fact, we're going to be playing the rest of the songs that we play on the show tonight are going to be songs by those artists.
Nice.
That's cool.
Mm-hmm. So that's what we did. Yeah, that's what we did last Wednesday, Mom and I, the day before Thanksgiving. We went over to the Palladium in St. Petersburg. What a great place. This place, I mean, it's old, it's historic.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever been in there.
It's badass, Ty. You would love it. It's like an old theater. And it's got, you know, an elevated stage,
right,
and a big elevated stage. And then the whole, you know, atmosphere of the theater itself is nice. It's a nice, and the acoustics were fantastic. That's one of the things that's very cool. We might talk a little bit more about that. Mom and I were thinking about over the holiday of actually doing a music show. And so maybe we'll do something like that, talk a little bit more about the Palladium, give you some more history, so-and-so, whatever. We'll see. Let's see. One thing we did after Thanksgiving, we all piled in into Hannah's car.
Yeah.
Without her Jeep Wrangler.
Wrangler.
No, it's not a Wrangler. What
it's
is your car?
Laredo.
Laredo. We wouldn't all fit in a Wrangler, would we?
No.
That'd be a little tight, especially with all Ty's equipment.
Equipment.
Check your equipment.
It's a kit.
So anyway, what we did is we all piled into Hannah's car and we drove 4 hours all the way
can't
up to Branford, Florida.
Branford.
Branford. Yeah, Ty was involved in a show called the Battle of the Bands up there, and Ty, why don't you tell us a little bit more about that? I thought it was a good time.
Yeah, no, it was fun. It was a cool show. It's not really what I expected. But it was neat.
Mm.
Neato.
The place that we went to was like a campground.
Yeah, Ellie Ray's.
Ellie Ray's. And it's like literally out in the middle of nowhere.
Blackness.
Yeah. I mean, it was like
dirt roads.
Yeah. The GPS is like, go another 500 feet and turn left here. And then it's like dirt road in complete blackness.
Past the psycho with a chainsaw.
Yeah. Right. Don't mind the zombie on the left. Yeah. Turn right here. No, anyway, it was a very cool place. They have a lot of places for you to camp and park your, well, like if you want to do a tent, you can do that. You can also bring your RV. And then they also have these little cabins. And look, we just drove 4 hours.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, Ty's band, we weren't finished there with all the shows until about 1 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
And I'll be damned if I'm going to turn around and drive 4 hours back here.
And then we had
here.
To do an interview afterwards.
Right. There was an interview afterwards. Unfortunately, this was a battle of the bands, and Ty's band came in second place.
Yeah. Well,
that's
I mean,
cool that you came in second.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think we were too heavy, even though it was the Road to Metal Fest. I think they were looking more for like radio friendly metal.
Yeah, yeah. Kinda. And that's the thing. And we didn't get to see the first band that actually won.
And I did look them up. They are pretty good, but still they're not as heavy.
They're not as. See, I consider your band death metal.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't consider any of the other bands death metal. They were just metal.
No, it's like radio metal.
Right.
Like Five Finger Death Punch, Disturbed. Mm. I wouldn't say Slipknot. Slipknot's still pretty heavy.
Yeah. Well, death metal. Who's a famous death metal band? I mean,
Cannibal Corpse.
Okay,
was the first one that comes to mind. But I mean, we're kind of more like Obituary or Creator.
Good.
We're uplifting. More like punch a baby in the face and you know kick a dog,
kick your mama, like kick your mama, rip her guts out.
What are these names? And he says them so seriously. Because
right. They're great. They're all great.
Yeah.
They are, but geez.
I don't even know if the name of your band is tough enough, Ty.
Yeah, right. You need to come up with something better.
Deceptive Intruder is not, you know, kick your mom in the face.
Right. Well, I mean, I could put in a vote to see if we could go back to Fetus Inferno.
Yeah.
Right. That's more like it. That's more like
it. You remember Fetus Inferno?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah. Good times.
Happy times.
Anyway, on the show, we've talked about those little houses.
Yeah.
On the prairie.
Well, they have that show on HGTV, Little Homes, and they're kind of cool.
I think so.
Because, I mean, inside, first of all, they're tiny.
Yeah.
But inside, they're decked out pretty nice. But again, they're tiny.
Now that I've actually been in one, mm-hmm. they're pretty cool.
Well, up there at Branford, after Ty's show, up there at Ellie Ray's. Yeah, we stayed in a tiny cabin. And I paced it off. Basically, inside was like 15 feet deep by about 11, 12 feet wide. And had a set of bunk beds. It had a double bed. It had a bathroom and it had a little kitchenette. And I'm telling you, man, it had a porch and it was a little log cabin.
It was awesome.
What was cool about it was like it was brand new. It was really cool. If I was single or a kid, I think I could live in that by myself.
Now you got to take it up another notch.
Yeah.
Put that in a tree.
You can put it in a tree. Yeah.
That's game over right
there. That is game over. That would be pretty
life
cool.
Life goals achieved.
Mm, right.
Where else are you going to go from there?
Right. Anyway. Let's see. So that was our whole experience on last weekend, pretty much. We stayed up there Friday night for Ty's show and then spent the night in the little cabin and then drove all the way back down here Saturday. And that pretty much killed the rest of the weekend. Yeah. Let's see.
God, that was a drive.
Yeah. Hannah Claire, before the show, you were telling me you had some sort of banking issue today, which is always frightening.
Damn it.
Yeah. Like, okay. First time I have deposited a check in my bank, in about a month was today, just a few hours ago.
Okay.
And as soon as I got home, I checked my bank account on my phone and all of a sudden, I am like $260 withdrawn, like negative $260.
I think you need a new bank. Didn't this happen before?
Yeah, like, I had to
put the thing in and the machine died.
Yeah, the machine ate my check.
But then, like, someone took $50.
Yeah, a teller.
Don't they have a way to track that? I mean, is somebody...
Apparently,
are they saying somebody's taking it from the ATM, or does somebody know your account number? I mean,
I don't
know. How can they take it from the ATM if they don't have your card?
I don't know. This transaction was a PayPal thing.
Ooh.
That's
weird.
Yeah, you need a new bank.
Right,
that's not
good. I have not used my debit card at all this month.
And this is over at BB&T.
Yeah.
Now, I've been with BB&T for 5 or 6 years.
The fraudulent charge was like $146.
Yeah, that's not cool.
And it withdrew or it overdrafted my account twice. So two charges of $36.
Right.
Plus the $146. Because I only had like $5 in there, honestly, because I was already thinking about switching banks.
Running on fumes.
Yeah, so, that's why I haven't put a check in.
You were thinking about switching banks because of a problem you had in the past.
Well, that, and there's not a BB&T anywhere on the beach.
Oh, right.
And I live on the beach now, and there's the only close one is either the one by this house or the one in Tyrone.
All right.
That's not close enough.
No, you need something a little bit closer.
Yeah, so I was thinking about switching to the Republic Bank. It's right next to my work.
Yeah.
And apparently there's one somewhere in Seminole.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
I like BB&T. I've been with them, I don't know, five or six years or something like that.
They pissed me off.
What did they do to you?
They hit me with some hidden charges.
Really?
Yeah, overdrafted me. They charged me like, I don't even know what it was for, but it was like $30 and I didn't have $30 in there.
Right.
So they charged me $30 I didn't have, and then that overdrafted me.
No, see, that's wrong.
Yeah.
They should be keeping a better eye on everybody's account. If they are going to charge you, and if that's their normal policy, well, then they shouldn't charge you if your account can't handle it.
Mm-hmm.
Right. You know?
I mean, I don't want them to, like, keep adding those charges up, because that would suck, too.
Yeah.
But still, I mean, they should... You know, I used to be with a bank up in Northern Virginia, and it was called Burke and Herbert.
And if you
had any kind of an issue with your account, they would call you. You know, they would call you and say, hey, you know, you spent a little bit too much money last night. You better get down here.
Where's your money?
Yeah, right. But they were really cool because they would let you know.
Right.
You know, I don't get that kind of a service out of BB&T, but I don't know.
Yeah, I've had Grow Financial for, I mean, how many years now do you think I've been there?
I don't know, but I've had it like my whole life. And
yeah,
it's great.
It's great.
Grow Financial. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Those are the ones with the green bike.
Yeah. Mm.
Do you actually get a green bike?
Yes.
Do you really?
If you sold act it. Right.
What?
No, he didn't.
I'm switching.
Anyway, all right.
Free green bike.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Hey, listen, if at any time during this broadcast you want to give us a call, don't even think about it.
Don't do it.
Don't do it.
We didn't update our Skype.
We didn't update our Skype, so we're not able to take calls tonight. But
don't want to, ain't gonna.
Yeah.
I know you were all dying
to. Well, I was kind of hoping to get a call from Kim Jong-un tonight because of his latest activities over there in North Korea. You know, a lot of times he likes to call into the Marco Radio Happy Hour show to let us know what's shaking.
Yeah,
over there in North Korea.
Maybe he can tweet us.
Maybe he'll tweet us. Yeah. Kim, if you're listening.
What's the haps with the craps?
Yeah. If you want to tweet us, it's Marco Radio Show 1. And a lot of times that's a lot of fun. We try to respond to your tweets as we get them.
I'm going to try my best.
So you can. Hey, that's it. We don't have the toe tonight. She usually handles the tweets and all this
and other,
stuff.
Shenanigans.
God, we're dead in the water.
I don't know what we're going to do. I'm so nervous.
Buckle up.
Yeah. So I will try to respond to your tweets as promptly as possible.
So anyway, what a week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We get off the Thanksgiving holiday and we come back to work and the whole week just explodes.
Yeah, pretty much.
The Seminole Heights serial killer was caught, we think.
Pretty sure
he's the guy. Pretty sure he's the guy. I tell you honestly, though, when I saw his picture for the first time in the paper, I was like, no. Can't be.
Yeah.
That's not the guy.
I was surprised, too.
Serial killers are supposed to look like Charles Manson.
Right. They're supposed to look a little rough, you know.
You know.
Rough around the edges.
Yeah, he looked like a, you know, pretty decent kid to me. But who knows what's going on inside the bean, you know.
Every serial killer, you talk to their neighbor, and they're like, they were so
normal. They were so sweet. And the family? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Salt of the earth.
Yeah, he was described as being a very polite, quiet individual.
Yeah,
but that all changed after New York University. Now, I think he went to St. John's, but it was in New York.
Yeah,
and
it's
after
a religious
that,
one.
His personality turned dark and aggressive.
Yeah, well, from what I heard, it's like he got the he applied for the license for the gun on like October 3rd. Mm-hmm. Didn't get the gun until like the 7th and then committed the first murder on the 9th. So he was on a mission.
Yeah.
He knew what he was doing.
Or is it like one of these things? Oh, I got this new toy. Let me see how this works. You know,
I don't think he didn't.
It doesn't seem like he killed anybody for any reason at all. You know, he didn't know any of these people as far as we know.
There's always a reason.
Yeah. It may not be. He may not have chosen the people specifically. However, if he really was angry, like something was going on in his head, and it did mention that before the college in New York, his parents almost got divorced. If something happened...
Almost got divorced because of his behavior?
No. At this point, he was still a great person. And he never outwardly did anything. But if he was... angry for some reason that we're not aware of, you know, kind of mad at the world sort of thing.
Right.
It doesn't necessarily matter who it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, okay, I'm about to crack the case wide open.
Oh boy.
Did he, I know he worked at McDonald's, didn't he?
Yes.
Did he work at the McDonald's in that area?
No.
In Ybor City.
Okay. All right. Well.
Still going to crack it?
Maybe.
Nope. Lost it.
Still going to crack
it's
it?
Not
come
as
on,
good. Well, okay. He has no connection to these people.
Right.
What if they're just shitty McDonald's customers?
Ooh.
Think about that.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Your fries are cold? Yeah. Let me cash me outside.
No onion, huh?
Mm-hmm. Hannah Claire, what do you have over there?
Apparently, Radio St. Pete tweeted us that Burke and Herbert had team in my Alexandria Little League.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Huh.
Apparently.
Well, that's where they were, is down in Old Town Alexandria. That was my branch.
Burke and Herbert.
Burke and Herbert. Right.
Yeah.
Used to love that little bank. Mm-hmm.
And we have a heart on it. freaking hurt. Oh, I might have done that. Oh. I hearted it, apparently.
Mm-hmm. Do you even know how to Twitter?
I hope. I don't know. Yeah. Apparently it was 45 seconds ago.
Hannah Claire, do you know what the accused Seminole Heights killer's name is?
Ooh.
Anybody?
No.
Yes.
What is it?
It is Howell Emmanuel Donaldson III, but he's known to friends as Trey.
Trey, right. Yeah, I heard that. And when you hear that name, Howell Emmanuel Gordon III, it's kind of like you expect him to be wearing like a boat captain's hat and an ascot.
the Howells from Gilligan's Island. Right.
Hanging out with someone named Muffy. Yeah,
that's not the name. When I saw the picture of the kid and then I saw the name, I was like, did I get that right?
Right?
Kind of person that brings every article of clothing they own on a 3-hour tour. What's the deal with that? Well, let me ask
Dilio, right.
Stop everything. Gilligan's Island time. Yeah. What is that?
Right.
What's that about?
So anyway,
they're tranquilizers.
They knew.
Yeah.
They
yes.
knew.
Anyway, the police are pretty sure that this is their man. I guess they've already done some ballistic tests on the weapon, and they were able to track his cell phone pings, I guess. And I guess it pinged everywhere. There was a victim found.
That's what I heard.
He was in that area. Hey, I heard something on the radio today that was kind of interesting. And it got me to wondering, you know, when you buy a gun.
Yeah.
It almost seems to me, now maybe it is the rule in some states, but I don't think it is the rule here in Florida. But it seems to me that it should be, before you take that gun out of the store, they should make you fire it. And then and then keep that casing to, you know, put into archives so that, you know, when they go to a crime scene, they pick up casings.
Right.
And then if they can go into a database.
Flipping through bags. Damn it.
Which one of these brass things? No, when you buy a gun and they get your casing, your initial casing, then they should do a ballistic test on it, a lot like when they take your fingerprints.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So then that way, you know, it would be a lot easier. At least that would give the police, if they could go to that database and match the casings, then they would at least have a first place to go. I mean, a lot of guns are stolen.
Yeah.
But at least they would know, you know, if they went to somebody and they said, hey, this gun is registered in your name. Well, it was stolen, da-da-da-da-da.
Well, right? I mean, I kind of guessed that he was well off. I mean, he's using a gun that he bought.
And his
people.
Name is Howell.
Yeah.
Howell.
Thurston the third. Howell the third. Right.
I mean, even Cat Williams has said, you don't shoot somebody with your gun. You got to steal a gun. Yeah.
Well, he's only 24 years old.
Yeah, right.
Oh, something interesting that I also read is McDonald's is the last job that he held before he got caught. And his friends, well, not his friends, his coworkers joked with him about how he looked like the killer.
Yeah, and what a crazy way for him to get caught.
Oh, God.
And I've heard conflicting stories about how he actually got caught. At first, I heard that he gave a bag, and when I originally heard that, I thought it was like a backpack to like a manager at the store, and then he went to Amscot to like cash a check.
Yeah.
Well, while he's gone, she looks in his bag. First of all, I'm thinking, why are you looking in his bag?
Right.
Hold up.
But then it turns out that it was a McDonald's bag, and if you've got a handgun in a McDonald's bag, it's going to feel different than a cheeseburger.
You
know this what I mean? Isn't
so
food.
That might give you cause to look inside.
Right.
And already, I think everybody else that worked at McDonald's suspected this guy.
True.
You know.
Well, like a lot of them didn't suspect him specifically, but they did say that he never really fit in. He was aggressive. He wasn't very friendly, and which is very different from how he was previously described.
Aggressive.
Mm-hmm.
Did they say like, why was he like picking fights with people?
Well, no, not picking fights, but
or like I own a gun now. Aggressive.
But no, like yeah, more no, just the unfriendly kind of aggressive.
He's probably the I work at McDonald's aggressive.
Right.
Just kind of.
But yeah, they said the McDonald's was like kind of family. Everyone you know got along, but he was never part of that.
The outsider.
Yes.
Trey.
With a recent terrible past.
Yeah. It sounds like it.
Yeah. Anyway. Hey, so then the manager is, you know, I think it got to be like $110,000 was the reward for whoever turned this person in.
Mm-hmm.
They,
I wish I had it.
She already received a check from Richard Gonsmart. I think that's his name. He's like a restaurateur here in the area. And he had pledged that he would give $9,000. Well, the day after they caught this dude, he went right over to McDonald's and you know, gave that girl, the manager, a check for $9,000.
Wow. Damn.
Yeah. Then the big question was, is everybody else going to pay? Because I guess Crime Stoppers and all of the people that donate into that reward money have certain rules on what has to happen before they'll pay out.
Right.
Well, first of all, I think there was a question on whether or not Crime Stoppers was going to pay. Because I think one of their rules is you have to call us.
Mm.
You know, and
I think those rules are void after whoever it was that was all like, dead or alive.
That was the mayor.
Yeah. No, if you're turning it into a Western, yeah, anything goes.
Yeah.
Where's the money?
Mayor Bob Buckhorn got a little overzealous.
His name is Bob Buckhorn.
Of course he said dead or alive.
All he needs is a 10-gallon hat.
Serious.
And a holster.
Some spurs.
With big old Yosemite Sam mustache.
Big Bob Buckhorn. Bring this in. Alive.
Want it.
Yeah. Anyway, I think I did hear later this afternoon that Crime Stoppers was going to go ahead and pay up their portion. But I think there's I think there's still a portion of that money where she has to wait until there's actually a conviction. But still.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I think, I mean, so far she's gotten like $29,000, that I'd portion. Okay,
that's
that.
Pretty good.
You know, I'd be all right with that.
I'm done with McDonald's.
Yeah.
Anyway, what else happened this week?
Who knows? It's been too crazy.
It has been crazy. I mean,
Terminator. Terminator's coming.
Well, we're going to talk about that. But the whole sexual harassment thing just gets weirder by the day.
Yeah.
I mean, they are coming out of the woodwork. This week, Matt Lauer. Matt Lauer.
Unbelievable.
Our Matty Lauer. I mean, come on, man.
Come on, man.
This is getting bad.
Always pinching butts.
How bad is it when your Matt Lauer turns out to be a pervert? I mean, Jesus.
Perverts are everywhere.
Did you hear the interview? And this happened like several years ago. Somebody was interviewing, I think it was like TMZ or something like that, was interviewing Katie Couric. And they said, Katie, you've worked with Matt Lauer for about 15 years. And she's, Yeah, we've been together. And she acted like they had a good relationship, that kind of thing. And then the guy asked her, well, what is it about Matt that really kind of disturbs you? She said, well, he's always pinching my ass. You know, so it's like,
oh, my God.
You know, so there's that.
And it's like every celebrity now.
Yeah. You know, so, it came out, I think it was Tuesday. I think he was abruptly fired because of an allegation. And then
he didn't have like a... like a big holdup in his rape dungeon.
No, but they, and then it came out that, he's never done anything in the past. This is his first violation, but we feel like there's going to be more to come. And sure enough, they come out of the woodwork, man. And, turns out that he had sex with some girl in his office and she passed out and had to be taken to the hospital. And
Quite the stallion.
On his desk in his office, he had like a
ladies are passing out.
Yeah, what I
slammed it out.
On his desk in his office, he crushed had what it. I've heard referred to as the rape button, where he could push a button on his desk and it automatically locked his door.
That's
so
good.
So it's like, hey, come on in here. You walk in, click.
Did he have another button that was just a trap door?
Yeah, right.
You'd fall into the office below.
Know. It just, it's like
mood lighting.
Every time I hear one of these new allegations about Matt Lauer, it's like, Matt?
Really?
Come on, man. One of the other ones I heard about this week is Garrison Keillor. Do you guys know who Garrison Keillor is?
No.
You ever heard of the Prairie Home Companion?
No.
Oh, my God. You guys have heard.
What is that? WMNF? Or
yeah, WMNF, the Prairie Home Companion. It's like
channel.
It's a radio show, but they put on like a kind of like a skit.
Right.
They have all kinds of sound effects, like when the horse is going, it's...
Right.
That's pretty good. That's good.
Yeah, I could be on that show. I auditioned. Garrison didn't like me.
Didn't like
your horse.
But
apparently Garrison Keillor was into the ladies on the show.
Yeah, you just need some boobs, and then you would have gotten it.
I guess.
Should have wore your muumuu.
Right.
You need the moo-moo.
Missed it.
What Every else? Celebrity.
Oh, Kim Jong-un sent another rocket toward Japan.
Woo! Nice.
Baby, you're a firework.
How does this end? How does this end? You know, I thought
with
for
big
sure.
Fiery.
I thought that after the last one, something was going to be done this time.
Nope.
Mm. All Donald Trump said during an interview was, "We will handle it." Yeah, oh, really?
This after his whole fire and fury.
Yeah. Well, it
he
was,
likes using those words.
Well, yeah. It was basically after "we will handle it," and then got right back into complaining about Pelosi and Schuler not showing up to his tax meeting.
Mm-hmm. Everything
know,
is all
which
about
is more
him.
Important. Yes. You know, it
let's,
seemed like.
Let's see some results there. Dragon Force, where's it at?
Right. Something. I mean, look, I'm not. This latest ICBM that Kim Jong-un and his boys lobbed over to Japan, you know, was the strongest one yet. Went the highest, went the farthest, was not armed with a nuclear device.
I don't think they have any.
Well, eventually they're going to, you know.
Maybe.
What happens when you, let's say that this particular missile that they lobbed over actually hit land? What, I mean, it doesn't just break up. I mean, doesn't it explode?
I don't know.
Not if it's not armed with anything.
So it would just be like a big trash can crashing to the ground.
Yeah, dropped a refrigerator into the middle of Tokyo.
Right. Nice. Okay. All right. Well,
then Japan would keel down.
I mean, that could still be very dangerous. So, I mean, he's playing with fire over there. You know, I don't want to see us go in and just completely carpet bomb North Korea, because I think there's a lot of innocent people over there that would, you know, much rather not be bombed into oblivion.
It's the people in power.
Yeah. And why can't we? Okay, first of all, you guys have heard of our Star Wars capability, where we can just shoot missiles out, you know, from space.
And lasers.
Why can't we? Why don't we know that these missiles are being launched as soon as they're being launched? It seems to me that this one...
We probably are.
It seems like we didn't find out about this one until South Korea called us and said, hey, Don, they did it again.
Well,
you know.
We probably know. We're just waiting for them to actually hit something, so then we can be all like, all right,
I don't know.
Now it's time for John Wayne to come out.
I don't know that we should wait that long. I really don't.
No, we shouldn't, but that's what's going to happen. They're waiting till they have a reason.
All right.
It's a bad move.
No preemptive strikes.
My whole thing is, and I think if you're the president and you come out with the fire and fury and all that kind of stuff, then you've got to do something. Because I think in my mind, if you're going to threaten somebody, well, you got to act on it.
Mm-hmm. No, I mean, he's too busy dodging the Russia investigation.
No, what he's too busy doing is tweeting.
Yeah.
Is tweeting. And I've got something. You know what? Where is that?
You know what?
Hold on.
This is ridiculous.
Wait a minute.
I'm going to blow your freaking mind.
Yeah. Oh, here. This. Look here.
Look here.
Okay. Here. So, I mean, we hear about Trump's tweets on a daily basis.
Yeah.
Okay.
Unfortunately.
I mean, have you ever wondered how many tweets he sends?
Probably a lot.
Okay. He sent 362 tweets in June, 424 in July, and 485 in September. At his current pace, by the end of last month, November, he should have sent about 723. They say that in one day alone, he shot off about 51 tweets.
Oh, my God.
You know, when is he going to stop tweeting and start playing president?
Never.
He's not.
Because he's unprofessional and he's self-absorbed.
Yeah. He's not a president.
It's all about him. He is president, so people will admire him and think he is great.
He thinks tweeting is being president.
Yeah, that's kind of scary. There was something else I wanted to say about this. They had a guy defect from over there. Yeah, there was a defector from North Korea to South Korea. And when the guy was injured during the defection, and when they started doing checks on him, they said that they found his body full of parasites, some of them as long as 11 inches long.
Gross.
Right? This is gross. And then doctors speculate that North Korea's food supply has become contaminated because of the widespread use of human excrement to fertilize crops.
Nice. Awesome.
Gross. Disgusting.
Well, you know what? If that's true, then we probably don't have to do anything. We'll give them another 5 to 10 years, and they'll all be dead.
Yeah, right. Well, I don't want the innocent people to die. And the thing is, every time he does something and we put these sanctions on them, then now we kind of look like the bad guy.
Right.
Because they're not getting food. Now they got to eat the crappy crops. Crappy crops.
Crappy crops.
Crappy crops. Good one. Nice.
Anyway. Where's the fire and fury?
Yeah, where's the fire and fury? Hey, we should take a break, but before we do that, I also want to say one sad thing that happened this week is Gomer died. Gomer Pyle died. Mm-hmm. What was his name?
Gomer Pyle.
Damn it, man.
Damn it, I lost my nose.
Gomer.
And I know Gomer. His name. Gomer. Damn it. Now I can't think of what his name is.
It's Gomer.
That's just who he is now.
No, but anyway, he was 87 years old, and it's very sad. Jim Nabors.
Jim Nabors
died, and said that he died at his house in Hawaii. Apparently, he'd been suffering from, I guess, like kidney cancer or something like that. But he died peacefully in his bed, according to his husband. According to his husband.
Nice.
Jim Nabors was 87 years old. Did you guys know that Jim Nabors was one hell of like a operatic singer?
No. Nope.
He had a unbelievably beautiful like bass voice, deep, nice. Very deep. But he would, I guess, travel around the world and do concerts and things like that.
I did not know that.
He wasn't just Gomer.
Who's Gomer?
Jim Nabors, dead everybody. Gomer.
Dead everybody.
Yeah, dead everybody.
Died in 2001.
Rest in peace, Gomer. All right, everybody, we should take a break. Let's see. Before we do that, I want to tell you that the song we're going to play is called Happy About That, and it's going to be by an artist, Eddie Wright, that I was telling you about earlier when I said that Mom and I went to the Palladium.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we will be right back, and when we get back, we're going to get into, whatever we get into. We'll be back.
Thank you.
right, we are back, and this is the Marco Radio Happy Hour Show. We are coming to you live right here on RadioSaintPete.com, as we do every Friday evening from 6 to 8 p.m. Let's see. That song, as I mentioned before the break, is called Happy About That, and it was performed by a guy named Eddie Wright that I saw last Wednesday night over at the Palladium, and he was part of the Damon Fowler and Friends show that was fantastic over there. Eddie Wright, he was the first performer to come out on the stage, and it was him playing an acoustic guitar and then a bass player who sang backup, and they did, I don't know, four or five songs, and it was, you know, it was pretty tame. That sort of thing. And then and it was very good. But then when Damon came out, Eddie came out on stage and played like backup guitar.
Mm-hmm.
And he several times went into these guitar solos that were very Grateful Dead-esque.
Nice.
I mean,
kind of wandery.
Well, yeah, kind of wandery and, you know, bubbly. Kind of.
That's cool.
Grateful Dead has a very distinct sound.
Yeah.
And these guitar solos that he was breaking into were very, very similar. I got a real kick out of that. Eddie Wright, everybody. Check him out.
Eddie Wright.
Let's see. Before the break, we talked about all kinds of stuff already.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the things we were talking about is the whole sexual harassment thing.
Yep,
and one of the things I left out, you know, right now, all of the sexual harassment things that we're hearing so far are from, you know, people in the media.
Right.
Yeah. One of the shows I listen to on the radio every day, they actually came out with a game, and it's like you know, pick the perv, and it's kind of like, you know, some shows have like a death pool, mm-hmm. like a celebrity death pool, where everybody will pick, you know, who's going to be the next person, your celebrity to die.
Yeah.
Well, this particular game is pick the next person who's going to come out with accusations.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty great.
You know, and I thought it was pretty cool. And I mean, some of the people that they came out with, you know, Ben Affleck, I could see that.
Yeah.
You know, it seems like there would be somebody affiliated with Disney, you know,
those
kids.
Definitely.
You know, I mean, It's hard to say who's going to come. I mean, now after Matt Lauer came out, my mind is just blown.
Yeah, I mean, who knows now?
Yeah, but one of the things that you have to do, especially if you have kids that are into sports, is really keep an eye on
the coach.
Who's coaching your kids. I saw this article in the Week magazine, and it says that the more than 290 coaches and other officials associated with the United States Olympic sports organizations have been publicly accused of sexual harassment since 1982. 290.
Wow. Anyone in a position of power,
right?
You got to watch out for.
Yep.
It says
especially the church.
Yeah, the figure spans 15 sports and to an average of 8 adults connected to an Olympic organization accused of sexual misconduct every year for more than 36 years. So you really, you know, it's everywhere.
Yeah,
it's absolutely everywhere.
Yep.
I would really like to get my radio career up and going. But what I just know what's going to happen as soon as I, you know, get a good gig, then, you know, they're all going to come out of the woodwork.
Well, what did you do?
I didn't do anything.
Well, I mean, that all depends. If you keep it a family show, that shouldn't happen.
Right.
Hopefully. I mean, I don't, Matt Lauer, so.
Right. I wanted to know what he did to that girl where she passed out.
Yeah, jeez.
Damn.
Right.
Damn, Maddie.
Must have been she
was
good.
Scared.
Yeah.
She was scared?
Changed his name to Matt Power.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Anyway, let's see. One of the other things that I'm very interested in, and I think it's something that we should all start to pay attention to, and where are we time-wise? I got 46. We got
46. Somewhere okay. Lost in time.
Man, maybe I don't want to talk about that now because that's such a good.
Yeah, don't want
to. I tell you what,
short.
We'll do. We'll talk about our pre-show dinner.
Yeah.
Let's do that. Before every show, we try to do a pre-show dinner, and this week we went to Havana Harry's, which is a small little Cuban market and deli.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic. One of those places, a lot like Mazzaro's, not as big as Mazzaro's, but it's one of those places where you walk in and it's like, I'm in heaven. I mean, it just smells so good. All the music that they play over the loudspeakers is all Cuban music.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like you just walked into Little Havana. And a lot of times Harry is there. But anyway, if you want to go to Little or Havana Harry's Market,
fairing up the place.
It's located in Largo. It's at 13932 Walsingham Road. And again, that's Largo. They're open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. And then on Sunday from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. They do catering. I've had quite a few sandwiches from there. They're all fantastic. Tonight, I put in a big order. We got a couple of their Cuban Rubens
fantastic.
That are to die for. I know we got a big Italian Supreme sub. Jack, what'd you get?
I got the French dip.
French dip with a side. Did you get your beans
yes.
and rice?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
And I'm kind of picky about sandwiches. I really loved it. The bread was great.
Yeah. Now, I wasn't sure if everybody likes to have theirs pressed, and I didn't specify that when I ordered. Because a lot of times, for me in particular, if I eat that pressed bread, it kind of really chews up the roof of my mouth.
Yeah. You
know? Yeah.
I actually found it wasn't too abrasive. And then sometimes with the non-pressed sandwiches, they're just too big. There's too much bread, and I don't like that either.
Right.
So I really liked having it pressed like that.
Hannah Claire, what did you get?
I just got a Cuban.
Okay, just a regular Cuban.
Yeah. What's his name?
Harry.
Harry.
Hannah got Harry's Reuben.
Mm.
Anyway, they do catering and that kind of thing. It's fantastic. The prices are right. And like I say, they're right on Walsingham in Largo. Very good place. If you want to give them a call, you can do that. Like I did. I called at about 1:30 and said, look, I'm going to be there about 3 o'clock. Can you have it ready? And they said, no problem.
No way, Jose.
Yeah. The number, if you want to give them a call, is 727-596-5141. Ah, that looks like they also has another location. I'm just seeing that now. Havana Harry's Market 2, which is located 1999 Starkey Road, also in Largo.
Look
so
at
that's
that.
That's interesting as
that's
well.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, if you're closer to that location, you can give them a call at 727-459-9106.
See, two locations. They're doing well.
Yep. Very good. And I love it. It's like I said, it's one of those places you walk in and it's like, oh my God.
So good.
Yeah. Okay, so that's that. Where are we time wise? I'm going to blaze through that too quick.
God damn it.
Yeah, shut up,
eight
motor
more
mouse.
Minutes.
Jesus.
Yeah. All right, let's talk about sports, man. We'll do that very quickly. How about that?
Yeah, all blaze right. through that in 10 seconds.
Yeah, so my Tampa Bay Buccaneers are in Green Bay Sunday to face the Packers at 1 o'clock, and you can catch that game on Fox. We're going to have our quarterback, Jameis Winston, back. He's been out for the last 2 or 3 weeks because of a bum shoulder. Apparently, he's gone through. I saw in the paper he went through some sort of. He went through some sort of. Blood transfusion therapy or something
AIDS.
Like that. something weird. Not anything that I would allow them to do to me.
That
but,
sounds scary.
But apparently it promotes
Vampire-y.
Faster healing. So he will be...
I don't know about that witchcraft.
Right. He'll be back behind center Sunday in Green Bay.
Ready to G some P.
Hey, you know, I wasn't that disappointed with his backup, Fitzpatrick. And... you know, I mean, he won 2 games.
Yeah.
Winston's only won 2 games.
Yeah.
So,
shit.
You know, I mean,
let's try this other kid out.
The
for
Bucks
a little
record
while
is 4-7. So, we'll see. We'll see what happens. The Packers are currently 5-6, and they don't have their starting quarterback. He's out for the season. So, we'll see. A lot of times when you go to Green Bay, one of the biggest factors, first of all, they have a phenomenal fan base.
Yeah.
But it's cold.
Yeah, and
it's
isn't
very,
that
very
an
cold.
Outdoor field?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
It's very
and they play in mud.
Real grass.
Yeah, and it's truly the frozen tundra.
Yeah.
It's like playing on concrete. Yeah. Anyway, let's see. My Tampa Bay Lightning just ended a road trip where they only won 1 out of 4 games. Not too good.
Mm.
But on the bright side, they are still in first place in the Eastern Conference and with a record of 17-6-2. Still the best record in all of the NHL. Up next for them, they face the Sharks here at Amalie Arena tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. So that's going to be cool.
I bet Riot will go to that.
Should. Where, are you snapping at me?
No.
Oh,
I didn't do anything.
You're giving me some kind of signal.
Jesus. No, my hands are at my side. I wasn't moving.
I'm freaking out, man.
Dude, you still have like 6 minutes to go.
You got a bat in the cave, though.
That literally took you 2 minutes.
Don't do that, Ty. Don't do that. Let's see. Let me slow this down. All right, so you remember we've been talking about the whether or not our Tampa Bay Rowdies are going to get selected to be one of the next MLS franchises?
Yeah.
Okay, well, they're not going to be.
Oh.
At least not this time.
They won't.
Well, poo.
Not this time. Apparently, the teams that are vying for the two spots are Cincinnati, Detroit, Nashville, and Sacramento. And there are two spots available. And those four teams are going to have to, I guess you have to compete on the field to see who's going to get one of those spots.
Yeah.
I also want to talk about Big Tobacco. They're doing something that I'm kind of for, but I'm also kind of against. Maybe I think that they could come up with a better plan.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So we'll talk about that. I want to talk about big game hunting.
Mm.
Big gay hunting.
It boggles the mind. If you're into big game hunting, when we get to that, you might want to tune out. Because you're probably not going to like what I have to say about it.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, we're going to talk about that. What else? Hey, I think we're even going to be able to play, even though Mom's not here, the big toe. I think we're still going to be able to play Stump the Chump.
Wow. Are you letting Ty see the
answers? He's not seeing anything.
What?
Shut it.
They're right there.
No, but those are the ones that are already
Ty gotten. Was looking.
No.
$14.92.
Stop it.
Save that for later. Mm-hmm.
Hey, here's Screw because I've got a little bit of time to kill. I read this article in the paper and it was like, if you
talk
get a.
just let him do his thing.
Norwegian people.
Yeah.
Where are they from? Sweden?
Norway.
God.
Jesus
Christ.
Cheese and crackers.
Mm-hmm.
This is an intelligent show.
Right. So if you're from Norway, apparently what they do over there as far as any kind of like motor vehicle altercation, any kind of penalty or things like that,
right.
What they do is they base their fine on your means, okay? So this college student, Katarina Anderson, she was fined $30,400 for driving under the influence. Traffic fines are pegged to the defendant's income in Norway, where Anderson, 22, an heiress, is the country's richest woman with an estimated $1.23 billion.
Wow. Oh my goodness.
If I was her, I'd be driving drunk all the time.
Oh, yeah.
Why not?
Screw it.
I'd just give them the $30,000 when they pull me over.
Yeah, right there.
Hair.
Take it.
Piss off.
Yeah. But, you know, is that fair? Is that fair to charge, you know, according to what your means are? I kind of think it should be.
It's nice.
Yeah. I mean, look, tax people according to what their means are.
Right.
But as far as fines. You know,
no.
Because if I didn't have a job, I kind of feel like you shouldn't charge me anything.
Yeah,
exactly. You know. And I feel like that's what would happen.
No, you got to pay something. I mean, you can't get a DUI.
Well,
what if there's a DUI with vehicular manslaughter tacked onto it? You can't just let somebody walk away because they don't have it.
If you can't pay the fine, you just throw them in jail for a little bit.
Think
about it.
It's Norway. Go back to their old system. Settle it with the axe and the shield.
Yeah, right. Go wrestle a bear. I don't know.
They were the Vikings, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Two men enter, one man leaves.
One man leaves. Where are we, Jack, for Christ's sake?
We're at 6:57.
Are we like any just? Are we got seconds?
6:57.1.
Why don't you hum us something?
0.1?
0.1?
13,
oh
14,
There's
15.
Why don't you give us a little solo on that ukulele over there?
Well, I could.
You could?
Yeah.
Busted out.
Are we that scheduled?
Yes, we are that scheduled.
Come on, yeah. Busta Rhymes.
This is serious.
It's only that scheduled when the thing cuts out.
Right.
Damn.
Yeah. Yeah, Joe, I hate to drop this in your lap, but we're not going to be able to cut out because we don't know how to do it. The toe's not here, and we didn't get that information.
We're not leaving.
Yeah. Let's go ahead and do it.
All right,
everybody. We're going to take our break at our halfway point. I can't believe that we've already been yakking at you for an hour. Let's see. The next song I'm going to play is going to be called Hot Tamales, and this is a live version, and it's going to be performed by Damon Fowler, who Mom and I, as I mentioned, went over to the Palladium last weekend to see a fantastic music show. When we get back, I'll talk more about those stories that I just mentioned a minute ago.
Woo!
And we'll even try to squeeze a little Stump the Chump in there.
Nice.
All right, everybody. Nice. We'll be right back.
We do this tune here. It's a Robert Johnson song. You guys can dance if you like to. If you don't, please stay seated. Red hot, I got them a sale. I got one for a nickel, two for a dime. Puts it for a bottle, hands in the mind. Hot tamales in the red hot, yeah, I got them a sale. Hot tamales in the red hot, yeah, I got them a sale. Hot tamales in the red hot, I got them a sale. Now I got a girl, she's long and tall. Sleeps in the kitchen with a fleece in the hall. Hot tamales in the red hot, yeah, I got them a sale. Well, I said, my baby.
Damon Fowler, everybody. That's Hot Tamales, and that's a live version. That's one of my all-time favorites. I love that. And just a good show that we went to last Wednesday over at the Palladium. It was Damon Fowler and Friends. We already played Eddie Wright, his song, Happy About That. We're also going to play Betty Fox, who is one of the friends that was there at the Palladium last Wednesday night. And then we're going to wrap the show up tonight with a sort of a... I don't want to say an acoustic version because it's all harmonica, but it's by T.C. Carr, who was one of the friends that was there last Wednesday night over at the play.